How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. Let's get it. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, coming to you for the Monday show. We're here for you on a daily basis. Most of the time, I know sometimes maybe we have to drop a show because life gets in the way, but whatever, that's how it goes. But we're here most of the time on a regular basis, Monday through Friday, and we're here for you today for the Celtics post-game after they beat the Knicks 110-94. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about some of the Coach of the Year stuff. We're going to talk about redrafting the 2016 draft. Jay Crowder had this weird injury. The Celtics are a 50-win team all of a sudden for the first time in 6 years, 7 years. It's a lot to get to today. But let's just start with today's festivities. Celtics get a big blowout win over the crappy, crappy Knicks. Jay King was there to witness this totally shitty. Just, I mean, honestly, Jay, is there anything to talk about from this game?
Not too much. Jaylen Brown probably had the quickest benching that I have ever seen in an NBA game. Literally the very first possession, it looked like he botched a play. And by the time the Celtics got back on defense, Brad Stevens had already called on Marcus Smart for the first substitution. Jaylen Brown went on to have a really good game. He was 5 for 6 with 3 dunks and 2 3-pointers. But literally probably the quickest benching I have ever seen. Maybe the quickest benching of the season for any team. So hats off to Jaylen Brown for that. And then obviously the other big thing that happened, was Jay Crowder's elbow injury. And there's nothing concrete about it yet. He didn't even know when it happened. He said there was just a weird tingling feeling. He said he looked down and it was swollen. He had some tingling in it. So x-rays came back negative. He's probably going to get an MRI when he returns to Boston. No word yet on exactly how bad it is. Thankfully, it's not his shooting elbow. If it was a shooting elbow, that could be a big deal. Because it's his left elbow, even if it's whatever the case may be, he'll probably be able to tough through it. But not what you want heading into the playoffs, obviously, depending on how bad it is.
Here's the beauty of this, and it's a weird injury. No one really knows exactly what's going on, but the Celtics' next game is against the Cleveland Cavaliers at home on Wednesday. So they've got Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday's the game. The Cavaliers just went into a double overtime game against the Pacers, which they won, but still it took double overtime. So the Cavs have, let me just check their schedule real quick, because I've been saying for every show for 2 weeks now that the Cavs are probably going to rest guys in that stretch. And so they have Orlando on Tuesday, then the Celtics on the road on Wednesday. If they don't send LeBron, that's an easy game to rest Jay Crowder and just kind of chill out and be cool with that. So you can still beat Cleveland if they're not sending Kyrie, if they're not sending LeBron, if they don't send Kevin Love. They can probably rest Crowder, so they would have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 days off to kind of let that thing kind of heal, whatever the hell it is. Then go to Atlanta on Thursday and pick up.
You think the Cavs are just going to punt that game on Wednesday?
Totally. I've been saying that for weeks.
You don't think they'll sit the guys against Orlando?
No. Because the whole point of resting is to not travel. You know, I think they go and they just beat Orlando. That's an easily winnable game. You go and you just beat them. Just go wax Orlando, chill out, sleep in your own beds. Let everybody just send the B team to Boston. They don't give a shit. Honestly, Jay, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, look at it from the Cavaliers' perspective. Do they care if they're the second seed? What's the worst thing? They'll have home court up until they face, let's just assume chalk holds, and they face the Celtics in the conference finals. If you're the Cavaliers, do you fear the Celtics? Do you?
Certainly not.
Yeah. Do you think you're not going to win a game on the road? Not at all. So who gives a shit? From a Cavs perspective, who gives a shit if you don't get the first seed?
The only thing is, like, they've been so weird. Like, they've rested guys a few times, but LeBron just played 52 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think he's second in the league in minutes per game. They have not managed minutes well over in Cleveland this year. There is no chance LeBron, at his age, at this stage of his career, should be anywhere close to the minutes leaderboard. Like,
not at all.
They should have been resting him all season. And I know they've had injuries, and they don't have a deep team, and they thought they needed to do it to get wins. I don't care how many wins you sacrifice. If you have LeBron James at his finest in the playoffs, that makes a lot more difference than 5-6 wins, whatever the case may be, whatever extra amount of wins he got you by playing all those extra minutes.
Yeah.
You get that back tenfold in the playoffs if he is fully healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and that's especially why I think they need to rest him now. So, he played all these minutes versus Indiana. Maybe they'll rest him against Orlando and Boston. But look, we talk about the science and everything about, like, when guys travel and blah, blah, blah. This is that Celtics game, that Wednesday game. They play on Tuesday against Orlando. Why would you send those guys? Just let them go home, go to sleep. Dude, just go home, go to bed, sleep, get your rest, recover. Forget the fucking Wednesday game. Forget it. Just Thursday we'll have a practice. We'll come home.
Guys, Corrales wants the one seed. You got to keep the guys in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely. So, and then when you look at the way the schedule is all panning out, I think if they do that, then it's a lock. I think Washington becomes the fourth seed. I think it plays out the way you want it to play out. I think the Bulls are going to end up being in the playoffs. I think Miami's going to be.
Rondo's playing well.
Yeah.
The resurgence of Rajon Rondo has been interesting.
I think it's going to be Celtics-Bulls in the first round. I think the Heat are going to drop out. I think the Pacers, even after tonight's loss, I think they're going to pop back up to eighth. The Heat schedule over the last seven games is not great. The Bulls schedule over the rest of the season is easy. They play the Nets twice. They play Philly. It's just, I think the Bulls are going to get in. They're at least going to be the eighth seed. They might get the seventh seed. I don't know what the tiebreaker is, but we might get national TV Rondo. Can you imagine Celtics Rondo in the first round? That's amazing.
I'm in for that series.
I love it. I'm down.
I'm in for Indiana.
I'm totally here for that.
Miami. There could be some fun first round series for Boston.
Yeah.
Even Atlanta could drop now. Atlanta is plummeting. That could be the Horford Hawks.
Man. Series. Man.
There's a there's a lot of different ways it could go.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, like Celtics versus Paul George or Celtics versus Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Could happen.
I think Butler, just my guess, just looking at the schedules and everything, I'm going to say right now, I'm guessing Celtics-Bulls first-round playoff series. And then Celtics-Wizards in the second round, which is going to be so dope. Oh, my God. That's going to be so great. Celtics-Wizards in the second round?
And for that one, too.
We are here for that. That'll be great.
Corrales is getting excited about the playoffs.
I'm really excited. Dude, we just watched them. Like, that Knicks game. I don't even want to talk about today's game. That was so shitty. It was just a shitty blowout, like, I'm happy about that. I'm happy that the Celtics went out and actually took care of business. Isaiah didn't play in the fourth quarter. Horford didn't play in the fourth quarter. The starters, except for Jaylen Brown, didn't play in the fourth quarter. That is exactly what you want in the situation. By the way, what was up with that heating pad that Isaiah had on his hip or something?
I'm not sure. I wish I had asked about it.
Yeah, I saw him in the game. He had like a thing on his hip, but like he did it, and like he went back in the game and he scored a bunch more points. So it's not like, but then he came back out and he put a thing on his hip. So I don't know, whatever, doesn't matter. It clearly didn't impact him because he came back out and he played very well. All right,
the Knicks are not good at all.
The Knicks basketball thing are very bad at basketball.
Whoo.
This is, and by the way, this is Phil Jackson's vision. This is Phil Jackson executing the plan. And the plan right now is the Knicks being really goddamn bad at basketball. 29-48. Ah, man. When's the last time they were over 500?
Sasha Vujacic starting in 2017.
Starting, dude. All right, let's move past this shit. One of the interesting things that we got, a comment that we got on the Rain and Jays Twitter with the hashtag Rain and Jays from Celtics Nation Italia, Nicolo Bagani. Give me your take on ABC not mentioning Brad Stevens in the top five coach of the year candidates. So they put up a graphic. They put up, let's see, it was Pop, D'Antoni, Quinn Snyder in Utah. Who else? Spo in Miami. And was it Steve Kerr?
Yeah, it was Steve Kerr, I think.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But I saw the message from Nicola. And look, I said this the other day when ESPN came out with the coaching rankings. And I this is how I kind of feel. Like, there are so many good coaches and good coaching jobs that have been done in the NBA this year, it's hard to argue like who should be top five. Like D'Antoni, the Rockets have undergone a complete transformation under him. You know, you look at the only one I would argue is like Quinn Snyder. Maybe I shouldn't be on that. I wouldn't have him on my top five probably, but like even outside that, like Scott Brooks. Wizards started out 2-8. They had a bad year last year.
They did have Brooks on the graphic. They did.
Oh, Brooks was in there.
Brooks was on the graphic. I do remember seeing Brooks in the graphic. Yes.
Okay. Or like even Dwayne Casey. Like they lose Kyle Lowry and they're still fighting for a top three seed in the East. Like there are so many good coaching jobs every year. I think Spoelstra, what he's done with that Heat roster is outrageous. So when you only put five, it's hard for me to get upset about that because it's just like, how do you determine whether Brad Stevens, who's a heck of a coach and has done a really good job this year and has his team at 50 wins for the first time since, you know, KG and Paul Pierce were still somewhat in their primes. How do you say he's better than those other guys that their teams have all overachieved? And I think Stevens has done a great job. It's hard for me to get too outraged about a list of coaches when they're all so damn good. It's like ranking point guards. If you don't put Isaiah Thomas in like the top four or five, like, yeah, he's probably a top five point guard, but it's hard for me to get outraged because the other five guys that you put in there are so damn good, you know?
Right.
It's the same thing with coaches to me.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. You sit there and you look at the Celtics at the number one seed in the East. There's one team in the Eastern Conference that has 50 wins. That's the Boston Celtics. And you look at the Boston Celtics and it's Isaiah and Horford and a bunch of, like, you're starting on a regular, the regular starters, you're starting what? Is it 2 second-round picks? What was Amir? Was Amir a second-round pick?
I think he was late first round. Maybe second. I could be wrong.
I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember. So maybe 3 second-round picks? But regardless, you got the last pick in the draft in Isaiah Thomas. You got a second-round pick in Crowder. And you got, I think, a second-round pick in Amir Johnson. And you got Bradley and Horford. So, and Avery Bradley was like a late first-round pick. So, if you're looking at, you're not exactly the, you're not exactly like when the Sixers, if the Sixers ever get good and you look at where they drafted, you get a bunch of lotto picks. The Celtics have a bunch of non-lottery picks in there, and they're dominating. Well, not dominating, but they're the top seed. So, at some point, you got to sit there and be like, all right, Brad's doing okay. He's got this. It can't all just be like Isaiah is carrying everything. Even though you look at Isaiah off the floor versus Isaiah on the floor, that's like such a stark difference that Isaiah is clearly carrying the team. But it's not as easy as just throwing the ball out on the floor and saying, okay, Isaiah, carry us. Brad Stevens is doing some work.
No, Stevens is a great coach. Don't get me wrong. He's done a great job. To have the Celtics at 50 wins and currently in first place in the Eastern Conference from where they were 3 years ago he's done a marvelous job. And all the guys, I mean, almost all the guys on their entire team have played the best basketball in their lives after going to Boston. And obviously he deserves at least some credit for that. It's just hard for me to determine, like, which coaches are better than who when so many have done great jobs. And obviously Stevens is one of the better coaches. Obviously the Celtics are very happy to have him. Obviously I thought Jay Crowder had a great quote. He was asked about getting to 50 wins so quickly after the Celtics really weren't very good. And he said, we've just kind of risen together and we've done it all together. And that's like, to me, that's the perfect quote, because Isaiah has risen so quickly, and Brad Stevens has risen, and Jay Crowder has risen, and Avery Bradley has risen. And it's like all these young guys have started playing the best basketball of their lives, and then they added Horford, and they took another step, and here they are with 5 games left in the regular season with controlling their own destiny for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So it's hard for me to determine who deserves the most credit for the formation of that, whether it's obviously Ainge deserves a lot of credit, Stevens deserves a lot of credit, but they all deserve credit because, like Crowder said, they've all done it together, and the rise has been with all of them, and that's it's kind of been neat. And honestly, like, people will overlook it because the Celtics were expected to win a lot of games this year. To win 50 games after, you know, 3 years after winning 25, and without during that span picking up like a marquee top of the line guy. Obviously Horford was a great free agent pickup, and Isaiah Thomas has become a stud. But at the time, like, Thomas wasn't a bona fide pickup, like Jay Crowder wasn't. And to rise as quickly as they have is just really remarkable.
It's amazing.
Very, very few teams do it like they did without bottoming out. And usually it takes a lot longer to get back to the top.
That was the year, think about when they traded for Isaiah Thomas, that was a year that we were sitting there saying, like, they should tank. They should be tanking.
And they considered tanking. They considered not getting Isaiah.
Yeah, because they were, I remember because, that, because he would make them win too many games.
Yeah, that was actually a conversation.
Yeah.
And now he's an MVP candidate.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Insanity. Like, insanity. So I will say, going back to the original conversation, I think Brad Stevens should be in the mix for Coach of the Year. Like, when you look at and part of, I think Brad Stevens has already sort of reached a level where people expect him to do well. And each year has been a slow progression of just getting slightly better and slightly better and slightly better. And this is not like the aberration. The thing about these awards is you get the awards for being a like an outlier. So the MVP becomes not the best player, because LeBron would be the MVP, or not the best coach of the year, because Popovich should be the best coach. He's the coach of the year, but they do it all the time. So you need something outrageous. You need a guy to average a goddamn triple double like Westbrook, or to be a freak like James Harden to go out there and become an MVP candidate, and they surpass LeBron. And now LeBron, they're going to fall to the 2 seed, and people are like, well, that means LeBron's out. They immediately dismiss LeBron. Like, are you kidding me? But that's how it goes. But the Celtics, after Brad Stevens got there, so he got there in the beginning, he won 25 games. The next year, they won 40 games. Then they won 48, and now they've won 50. And it's just enough of a progression where it's like, well, yeah, you're supposed to win a few more games. Like, this is the natural progression. They don't think anything of it. But really, when you look at things, it's an amazing coaching job. It's an amazing coaching job. But for some reason, Spo, who was the coach when they were 11 and whatever, when they sucked, no one, for some reason, moving up to 37 and 40 from where they were makes Spoelstra this awesome coach. No one was saying he was an awesome coach when they sucked at the beginning of the year, but now he's a Coach of the Year candidate. You know, Brooks in Washington, sure.
I mean, to be fair, Spoelstra's currently has his team in a playoff spot with Rodney Magruder and Luke Babbitt.
No, it's cool. It's fine. I get it. I totally. I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but look, he was the coach when they sucked. What do you want to? You like? They sucked, and he was the coach.
They should suck. You know, like they should suck. But that's the thing. It's just so hard. It's so hard to judge, and with coaches especially, it's whichever team exceeds preseason expectations.
And that's what it is.
Sometimes that's because the preseason expectations aren't right. Like, people underestimated, I think, the roster makeup of the Rockets, and what it would do to put Harden with all the damn shooters that team has. But at the same time, Mike D'Antoni, you know, he unleashed Harden as a full-time point guard.
That was amazing. That's a brilliant coaching job right there.
He's done a lot of things. And so there's so many good coaching jobs. Steven's been great. All those other guys have been great. I mean, I don't think Stevens will win Coach of the Year, but if he gets votes, like, cool.
He'll get votes.
He deserves it.
He'll get votes. All right, let's move on to the last topic here, which is a redraft of the 2016 NBA draft, which we love to do. We redrafted it before it even happened because we're way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you were probably the first person on Earth to redraft the 2016 draft.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to redraft the 2017 draft right now, but we'll save that for another show. But so ESPN, Chad Ford and Kevin Pelton, they redrafted the 2016 draft. And I want to say that Danny Ainge should probably get a little bit of credit, because in their redrafts, the combined redrafts, the Celtics basically came away with 3 players in the top 7, with Zizic, with Gershon Yabusele, and with Jaylen Brown. So that is pretty nice.
Yeah, and so Chad Ford had Gershon Yabusele at number 4 and Zizic at number 5 and Jaylen Brown at number 7. Now, I don't get how he had Yabusele at number four after he was 16th and people thought he wasn't a like spectacular 16th pick. It wasn't like everyone was like, oh, they got a steal there. And then he goes overseas to China where it's tough to judge guys. Comes back, oh, he's Chad Forrest number four. But hey, Celtics have three top seven guys in the region.
That's
and look, if Ante Zizic and Gershon Yabusele become better players in the future than Jaylen Brown, then the Celtics will have had a monster draft. Because Jaylen Brown is going to be at least good with serious upside because of his athletic potential. And because all of a sudden he's shooting 52% from the field since the All-Star break. He's shooting 39-point-something% from the three-point arc since the All-Star break. He has all this athletic potential. He's finishing. He's showing that he can be a role player over time, at least. And then those other guys, if they're better,
woo!
Danny Ainge deserves a raise if they're both better than Jaylen Brown long-term.
Think about what that draft was on draft night. Think about draft night and how pissed off Celtics fans were. Just go back and think about how Jaylen Brown, the pick, was booed. And I know it wasn't because they picked Jaylen Brown. I know it's because they wanted to select Chris Dunn so they could trade him. But the pick was booed. Jaylen Brown pick was booed. That's the end of the story. For whatever reason it was, it was. The selections of Yabusele and Zizic, people were like, who? What? Who are these guys? we're first round draft and stash? That's second round shit, Danny. Like, stop it. This is bullshit. People went on the radio and said that this was just a horrible draft. Danny Ainge, people were on the fire Danny Ainge bandwagon that next day and days afterwards. And now, today, almost a year later, 10 months later, and people are saying the Celtics got three of the top seven selections in that 2016 draft. Are you kidding me? Are you goddamn kidding me? Like, people get on my ass because I sit there and I say, wait and see. And people say, oh, get off the fence, make a decision, say something. Like, no, bullshit. Fuck you. You know what? I sit there and I want to say, now I sit there and I say, like, why can't we wait? Why can't we wait to see how this pans out? And this is the exact reason. This draft was the exact reason why you say, wait and see how things work.
Can I play devil's advocate here?
No.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Shut up.
Because you are telling people to wait, and now you're rubbing it in people's faces that they didn't wait. And meanwhile, you are touting the horn of two guys who have never played a second of NBA basketball. So I like how that went full circle real quick.
Look, I the bottom line is
I like the rant.
And I get it. That's fair. They have not played, but the point is that if these guys were in this draft and they were selected, if the Celtics had three top seven picks and they were selected in the top seven, people are like, all right, that's a great draft. Like, my point is that the perception is you have to just kind of take a step back sometimes and just let things pan out. It's like any other player. Like, we got Jaylen Brown and they booed the pick. And all right, fine. They booed that pick, but now you look at him and you say, all right, I don't want to trade that guy. I don't want to trade Jaylen Brown because look at what he's doing. Like, today he dunked all over the Knicks. Like, he dunked all over the Knicks. People are like, holy shit, that's pretty good, man. He's all right. Like, just I just want people to take a step back and say, now maybe Zizic and maybe Yabusele, they won't pan out. I don't know. And we don't know how Jaylen Brown's going to be. Maybe he'll never get better. Maybe he'll be the best player out of this draft. We don't know. But point is that when we look at things over the course of time, like, that's we just have to accept that these guys are so young. There's no determination that can be made immediately. And I know that's horrible radio, but it's good basketball, though. It's good basketball to sit there and say, let's wait to see how these guys pan out. So I'm sorry that I'm not going to be the Felgers of the world and slam Danny Ainge because and whatever. Like, people will forget the times that you were wrong, but I don't even want to be wrong at that point. Like, at that point, you just – I want people to understand that this shit is a process. Shout out to Sam Hinkie.
Your guy, Sam Hinkie. Before we get off the Yabusele talk, we are going to dissect his D-League games. I still haven't finished them. So once I finish watching them, that'll probably be on our show that's published Tuesday morning. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
It's been like the perfect backup QB situation for both of those guys. Like the Celtics struggled with rebounding for a long time, and there was Zizic over in Croatia, and then in the EuroLeague, like, just pounding grown men inside. And now it's like Yabusele. Ooh, he compares himself to Draymond Green. This guy's really intriguing. It's like he went to Maine, and he had, I think it was 20 points in his second game.
Yep.
And Jordan Mickey had 28, and no one cared.
No one cares anymore.
No one cares.
We're moving on from Jordan Mickey.
The Dancing Bear had 20. Like, this guy's intriguing.
He had 20 points on 7 of 9 shooting.
Yeah, no.
That's efficient.
He had a big game. He had a big game. The highlights looked impressive. I will watch for further comment.
He shot 4 or 5 from 3.
The Dancing Bear, man. The Dancing Bear.
All right. We'll talk about the Dancing Bear tomorrow. Let's save that for tomorrow. I think it's a good place to end today's show. I think we've done a good job.
There you go. We did a good job.
Pat ourselves on the back. It was a very, very Barry Horowitz WWE on this WrestleMania night. Pat yourself on the back.
I have no clue what that meant.
You have no idea. You have no idea. But the WWE fans know exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
With the Barry Horowitz reference.
There you go.
So, all right. That's the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. After the Celtics beat down the Knicks, 110-94 in a game that wasn't even that close. But thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for being part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're not a subscriber, search for us. Search Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, wherever it is. Go to our Audio Boom page. We have an RSS feed. Click on that. Copy, paste. Drop that into wherever it is that you get your podcasts. It's an easy way to find us. Follow us on the Rain and Jays on Twitter, at Rainin_Jays. Or follow me and Jay. You know where to find us. Do that. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. A big Dancing Bear episode. Promise you a lot of Dancing Bear talk with the Rain and Jays tomorrow here on the show. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics.